Lord, how you love me, I don't deserve grace on top of grace. More than I ask for, more than I'm worth, grace on top of grace.
Sing it out.
How sweet and the sound. Once lost, I'm now found. Heaven, it came down, and grace rescued me. Hallelujah, I am from my sin and penalty. At the cross, you took my place with your grace on top of grace. Grace on top of grace. More than I've asked for, more than I'm worth, grace on top of grace. Hallelujah, I am free from my sin and penalty. At the cross you took my place with your grace on top of grace. Once lost, I once lost, I'm now found. Heaven, you came down, and grace rescued me. How sweet and the sound. Once lost, I'm now found. Heaven, you came down, and grace rescued me. How sweet the sound. Once lost, I'm now found. Heaven, yeah, you came down, and grace rescued me. Hallelujah, I am free from my sin and penalty. At the cross you took my place. Grace on top of grace.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I am free. I sin and penalty. At the cross you took my place. With your grace on top of grace. With your grace on top of grace. With your grace on top of grace.
Have a seat. We are so glad that you are here. Welcome to Asbury. Who do we have to help us with the announcements this morning? Might be on me, so let's see. What do we got going on? Show me some announcement slides. We have a VBS informational meeting that Miss Laura is going to tell us all about here.
Well, good morning, Asbury.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Great.
Okay, a couple of the announcements that are going through. Guess what? It's past Valentine's Day. It is Vacation Bible School time.
Woo-hoo! Woo!
We will be having a informational meeting next Sunday at noon in the large conference room. We will be doing Hero Central. It's all about the superheroes of the Bible. So we're excited about that. So come. It's a quick meeting. You'll kind of just hear about what we're going to do and just for the week. And we're excited. It is June 10th through the 14th from 6 to 8:30. So you'll be seeing more information about that. Mm-hmm. And the next one's blessing bags. As you know, we have a lot of people who need our help. And so our children's ministries has put together some blessing bags. And it is Venus sausages, crackers, etc. They are located back here in the WAC in the plastic container, and then we also have some in our narthex. Please take a couple, put them in your car, and help those in need. Lenten Bible studies begin soon, which is actually this week. Reverend Perry will be doing the books of Acts. It will meet in the small conference room. And then Pastor Doug will be doing the letters of Paul to the church in Galatia. And that will meet in the Emmanuel class. Faith family dinners. If you missed it last week, you missed some good fish and some good shrimp. It was great. This week, we're having trolley car chicken. Okay, trolley car chicken, because I've gotten a couple of questions. It's a barbecued grilled chicken breast with mushrooms and bacon on top. It's really good. Oh, and cheese. And then all of the fixings. So be sure to come 5:45 to 6:30, and then you can just stay and do the Lenten series. And then we also have youth and children activities afterwards, concluding at 7:30. Those are all of our announcements for this morning. Make sure that you look in your bulletin for all that's coming up, what's happening on the weekly schedule. And now if you will stand up and greet somebody around you and pass the peace of Christ. And adults, as you find your seats, the kiddos can come on up here. We've got a special children's moments this morning. I think we have a special friend who's come to visit us. Well, good morning. How we doing? Oh, did everybody have a good Valentine's Day? Okay, one moment, please. Let me see what's going on back behind here. Stewardship.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, Miss Laura. Hi, kiddos. I bet you're wondering what I'm doing.
Yeah, what are you doing, Stewardship?
Well, I am observing Lent.
I see. But why?
Well, it's that time of year when we observe Lent for 40 days before Easter.
Oh my, Stewardship. I'm glad that you're trying to be faithful, but you have it all wrong. You're thinking of Lent, L-E-N-T, not Lent, L-I-N-T. Lent, L-E-N-T, is the time of preparation for Easter, which is the celebration of Jesus' resurrection.
Oh, do we do something special for Lent?
We do. We fast. Do you know what that means, Stewardship?
Sure. It means we go through fast food restaurants for 40 days.
No. Fasting is giving up something we enjoy for Lent. Others may give up a favorite activity, such as television or electronic time. Giving up these things we enjoy may become love gifts to God, given to God in adoration and praise. Making a sacrifice, even a small one, helps people recall the great sacrifice that Christ made for us.
So, that's why people give up something for Lent. Maybe I will give up this Lent roller. What are you going to give up for Lent, Miss Laura? Diet Coke?
I'm going to have to think about that one.
Hey, I just thought of something. This Lent roller really can teach us something about Easter.
Well, do tell us, Stewardship.
Well, the Lent roller removes the lid from my clothes, and this reminds me that Jesus removed my sin when he died on the cross.
Well, you're right. The season of Lent can help us remember what Jesus did for us. It helps us focus our attention on obeying and serving God throughout the year. So why don't we pray? Dear Jesus, thank you for this giving up your life for ours. Help us take this time of Lent and remember all that you have done for us. Help us give our lives to you every day. Amen.
Amen. Bye, kids. Bye.
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 Congregation, we're about to do a new song. This will be our first time together singing a song called So Will I. And we've done it during communion a couple weeks ago, so it won't be completely unfamiliar. But the band, we love this song. We love this song, and we know that many of the youth know it from conferences and worship events that they've gone to as well. One of the things I love about it is it tells this beautiful story. So you're going to see that we start with the God of creation, right? Because it had to be made. We had to be made in his image. And then we go to worshiping the God of promise, because he didn't just make us and leave us. When we kind of mess things up, there was a promise that he would redeem it all. And then we go to worshiping the God of salvation, because there was a beautiful plan set from the beginning, because he loved each and every one of us. So as we sing, take in that story. It's a little different song. It's not going to be quite as repetitive as some that we sing. Paul even called it a modern day hymn. Love that. There is this beautiful story to it. So we hope that you'll join us in singing and in worshiping. And if you don't know it yet, to sing it, just close your eyes and sing it with your heart. Raise your hands. Surrender. That's what worship is. It's not always the words we sing. It's not always the music played. It's the state of our heart. It's the surrender. This feels so scary sometimes. But sometimes it's in the putting up of our hands that we let so much go. So let's stand and join together as we worship.
At the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, he spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. The planets born. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart and everything you've made. Every bird. Star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praise, it's so alive. God of your promise, don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. The ones you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, will you creatures catch your breath? pursuit of what you see. If it all reveals your nature so alive, I can see your heart in everything you say. Every page of sky and canvas of your still obeys you so alive, so alive, so alive. Stars were made to worship, so alive. The mountains bow in reverence, so alive. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so alive. If the wind blows where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still falls shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. You created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. When you lost your life so I could find it, you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art. You gladly chose surrender, so will I. Your heart a billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you will again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Amen. You may have a seat as we enter into a time of prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to worship you with open arms and open hearts that are so often closed because of the hustle and the bustle and the things we have to do and the searching for purpose when we were made for you, to worship you, to bring you glory with all we say and with all we do. We overcomplicate it so often, Lord, and we want to come here today to proclaim that you are God. You are God alone, not us. And that we want to worship you the way your creation should and does. We see it all around us. The mountains, the ocean, the air that we breathe, every creature, every cell, every second is yours and bows to you and is at your command. And so we give our hearts to you willingly and openly, trusting that you are a God who is capable of all things. You are a God who raises from the dead, who takes what is broken and ugly and redeems it and gives it purpose and hope and new life. And we worship you for that this morning with all of our hearts. And we praise you and we pray to you the way your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward and we prepare to continue worshiping through our giving, we know that worship comes in so many forms. It's not just music. It's in everything we say and everything we do and how we interact with others. And this is just as much a part of worship as when the lights are dimmed and our hands are raised. This is a giving of our hearts and ourselves, because they're not ours. It's really not. The same way our breath isn't ours, it was a gift, and we give it back. Our financial resources, our time, it's a gift to him as well. So let's bless this offering. Dear Heavenly Father, we give back to you what we know is yours, and we ask that you multiply it, that you do more with our little than we could ever do with our lot. We trust you in all things, including our finances. And that is one of the hardest ways, dear Lord, in this world, sometimes, that we can worship. But we do so with a giving heart and with joy this morning. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to play a song for you guys real quick, written by a fellow Arkansan you may have heard on the radio. And in this time of Lent, a lot of times we can feel like we're recognizing the things in our life that have held us down, the things in our life that are maybe chains in our life. And if you felt like that, I hope this ministers to you a little bit. And it just goes like this. You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you've been trying to fill the same old holes inside. Well, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. And if you feel lost, he's a way maker. And if you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. And we've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. Oh, and there's a better life. Oh, there's a better life. And if you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. And if you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. Sing. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. Testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. Testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. And if you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. Yeah, if you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. And if you've got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. God, we thank you so much that you are a chain breaker. No matter what pain we've got in our life, no matter how lost we might feel like we are, no matter how far we've fallen from you, that you always, like a lighthouse, you point the way back to you. Thank you for this season. Thank you for the opportunity to remember where you are in our lives. In your son's holy name, amen.
Wow. Marvelous music. Really powerful. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Unfortunately, Doug Walker has the flu. So you have a guest speaker. I'm Baker Curris. I'm subbing in, and I'm glad to be here. I know I talked to a couple of you earlier who thought it might have been better had I given up preaching for Lent, but I didn't. So I'm here. It's amateur hour, okay? So we're going to have fun, and we're going to talk. And let's don't get confused about who I am and what I do. This ain't what I do. But I'm glad to be here. I asked that really that they do put guest speaker in the bulletin, because I was sure if you put my name in here, nobody would show up. So I'm glad you came out of curiosity to find out who this guest speaker was. Now, the other thing I was going to do was, the name of this talk is Change My Heart. So I was going to come in here dressed up in like Neil Young with a wig, sunglasses, a hat. Y'all know the song? I was going to come in and pretend like I was Neil Young, and we're talking about the transformation, and please. And then I was going to come back, and I'd be me. And so I talked to Mary. She said, oh, that's the greatest idea. That's super. And I talked to all these other people. Oh, that sounds interesting, which is always something when people say something's interesting. You better get on your toes. Then I asked Jenny. She goes, oh, I'm not so sure about that. Then I asked Andrew. I don't know, Dad. Madeline, eh. Then I asked Sarah. Sarah, she said, absolutely not, Dad. Don't even think about it. So anyway, maybe next time. Let's go to slide one, because we're going to get into the Word here a little bit. This is the transfiguration. This is when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain with Peter, John, and James. So let me read this. About 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James up on a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. They were glorious to see, and they were speaking about his exodus from this world, which was to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. Peter and the others had fallen asleep. When they woke up, they saw Jesus' glory and the two men standing with him. As Moses and Elijah were starting to leave, Peter, not even knowing what he was saying, blurted out, "Master, it is wonderful for us to be here. Let's make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." That was so Peter, the way he was. But even as he was saying this, a cloud overshadowed them, and terror gripped them as the cloud covered them. Then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." When the voice finished, Jesus was there alone. They didn't tell anyone at that time what they had seen. Change. Jesus changed. It's kind of interesting. It reminds me of that old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, Jesus, perfect child, perfect man. Why did he change? But he did change. And change is hard. You ever heard the expression, somebody walks in a room and says, "You know what, we got to change some things around here." What are they talking about? They're talking about everybody else changing. Nobody wants to change. When I say, "You know, we need to change things here in this business or whatever I'm dealing with," it never occurs to me that maybe I'm the problem. And maybe I need to change. You know, we need to be a better job. We need to do all these things. And we think of our world and we go home and we say, "You know, we got to change things, honey." And what you're saying is, "Honey, you got to change." Let's go to the next slide. You know, we like change because we think of change like we thought of change when we were kids. You know, the ugly caterpillar. When we were little, we all just rejoiced in this beautiful story of the caterpillar. Let's go to the next one. Who becomes what? A beautiful butterfly. That's just so wonderful. Let's go to the next slide. And change is so magical. Change, when it happens, is so magical. Let's go to the next slide. Let's go back to the first slide. Not that one, I'm sorry. Let's go back. That one. When Andrew sees that, he thinks two scrambled with sausage. But when I see that, I think, come on, tell me the truth. Next slide. Those three eggs can turn into chicken. Shut the front door. Seriously. You got a bird, it clucks a little bit, and out comes an egg. That's kind of magic anyway. And then the bird sits on the egg, and out come three chickens. And we act like that happens every day and there's nothing to it, but that's magic to me. Change is magical. And sometimes we get used to it and we don't even think about it. And with that, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. You're not going to get an answer to that one today, but I think God had something to do with it. And there are lots of books about change. There are lots of books about caterpillars. How many of y'all read The Hungry Caterpillar to your kids 1,000 times? I'm the caterpillar after it eats all of that stuff. I feel that way. But change is tough. It's tough on chickens. It's tough on caterpillars, I guess. And it's tough on us. And we don't really like it when it happens to us. Do you? You're like, I like my life. I get up in the morning when the dogs bark. I feed the dogs. I go make the coffee. I sit down. I get the paper. I like that. When the dog poops in the floor and I don't get to make my coffee, I have to clean that up. I don't like that. That's not the kind of change we're looking for. We don't like it. And transfiguration, you know, we're talking about the transfiguration of Christ. That's a fancy word for change, and it implies a physical change. Let's go to the next slide, please. I married a beautiful young woman. She was 24, and she's here. And things have changed, but it just gotten better. And now I've got a grandbaby. And these are the changes that I like, because they happened in my world. They made my world better, and I didn't have to change. I love change like that. I love change like that. I'm going to get in a little trouble for putting that in here, but I love the picture. But I have changed too. I looked on a high-def TV, not when I was school superintendent. I looked on this TV thing. I was giving a talk, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm melting. I mean, everything's going south. I didn't realize that. High-def TV is not for me. But the idea of Jesus changing, the transfiguration, that's a little foreign to us, isn't it? Think about that. Jesus changing. Why would he change? He was perfect to begin with. He was a perfect baby. He was a perfect 12-year-old. He was a perfect Savior. He was a perfect Messiah. He was a perfect resurrected Christ. And he was the perfect ascended Christ. But he changed. He really changed. There were five things that really happened in Jesus' life that really caught my attention when I was talking this way. He was born. He was born. That was a big deal. He was baptized. That was a big deal. And this whole transfiguration thing kind of reminds us of Jesus' baptism, doesn't it? We'll read a little bit about that in a moment. But then he was transfigured. That's an interesting thing. He was transfigured. Then he was resurrected. Then he ascended. And I'm an ignorant layman, okay? I've thought about this a lot, but please understand who's talking to you. But from my unlearned point of view, I never thought of Jesus as needing to change. I never thought he needed to change. He grew, and he lived, and he did lots of different things, but I never thought he was going to need to change because he was perfectly man and perfectly God. But you remember when he was baptized? You know, John the Baptist was baptizing people, and Jesus was there. There was a crowd. God sent the Holy Spirit down on him, and it descended on him. And that must have been for something. That had to mean something. I mean, it didn't just happen for no good reason. There was a reason why God sent the Holy Spirit, and it must have made a difference or a change, at least in the part of Jesus that was perfectly human. Maybe it changed him. Or maybe it changed the opinions of those who saw this happen when the Holy Spirit came down on Jesus. But it wasn't for nothing that God does anything. I mean, this stuff happens for a reason. So this baptism and this Holy Spirit coming down on Jesus and this transfiguration where he changes in appearance and his clothes become iridescent and white must mean something. So what do we make of it? It was an amazing thing. It was amazing. The transfiguration that we're talking about was an amazing thing for a lot of reasons because you had Moses, you had Elijah, and you had Jesus on a mountaintop with three people, three mortal people. And then God comes down. And maybe it was to fulfill the prophecy in Malachi. You remember in Malachi it says that Elijah will come back and be part of the annunciation, part of the process when Jesus comes to the world. So Elijah's back on earth. Then you have Moses. You have Moses, the old law. You have Elijah, the prophet. And then you have the Messiah all in one place. And it's sort of like where heaven meets earth when you think about that. God comes into this picture with Peter, James, and John. And there on a mountaintop, you have Christ transfigured. And it's almost like heaven and earth come together in what can only be described as an amazing, amazing change, transformation for everybody there, for everybody there. Because Moses represented how it used to be, Elijah represented how it was going to be, and Christ represents how it was, how it is, and how it will be. All of that happened on a mountain. But it wasn't a big showy thing. Because there are only three people there. And you know what they decided when they were there? Just don't tell anybody about this right now. So Jesus changed somehow. God did that. Jesus did that for a reason. Now, don't think I'm being silly, kids, okay? But if you see three things, they're all three things. And one of them lights up like a game show. What do you think? That's the one there. That's the winner. Maybe that was part of the deal. I was thinking about, you got Elijah, you got Moses, and you got Jesus. Jesus lit up. I think if I were Peter, if I were John, I'd say, he's a little more important than those other two guys. I think that's part of it. But Peter already knew Jesus was the Messiah. You know, earlier in Peter, Jesus asked Peter, but who do you say I am? And Peter says, you're the Messiah sent from God. So God... Peter knew Jesus was the Messiah, but then God speaks to Peter, James, and John, speaks right at them. which has got to be amazing. And he says these words, "This is my son, the chosen one." What does he say? Listen to him. He doesn't say I'm proud of him. He already said that when he baptized him. He says, listen to him. Listen to him. So what does it mean? What does all this stuff mean? It's just transfiguration. It's almost magic transformation. What does it mean today? February the 18th, Lenten season, all that stuff. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? What are we here for? So a couple things we know. We know that Christ came down here to save lost sheep. That's really the big reason he came. We know that. He came down here to change our lives, to save us, to make our lives different. And when Christ changed people's lives, he didn't just change their life. He also said something to them about change. Remember at the well, well at Bethesda, where God troubled the water, you know, wade in the water. Y'all know that tune? The water's troubled. People who are ill, the first one in gets in the water, it bubbles, and that person is changed. They're healed. And there was this paralytic man, and he couldn't get in the water because he couldn't get up, and he would always get elbowed out of the way. So Jesus is there, and Jesus heals this man. And he heals him, and you know what he says? Now you are healed. Stop sinning. You're not just healed. I want you to change. I want you to be transfigured. I want you to be transformed. I want you to be different now. So you're not just saved and healed. You're not just forgiven. Stop sinning. Change. And when I read that part, I liked the first part of that story about healing. I love that part. I didn't like the second part as much. Because you know what? I don't want to change. I don't know about you. I want to be forgiven, but I don't want to be changed too much. I want everything around me to change. I don't want the world to be full of hate and school shootings and pain and hunger and oppression and addiction and all the things that I don't want. And I pray that all these things go away. And I want the world to change. Why? Because part of me says I just can't change. Let's go to the next slide, please. Because some people are just bad. Some people are just hard to change. And they're bad, bad, bad. And we look at ourselves and we say, Lord, I want to change. But in my heart, I'm praying that I can. But, I've got problems. And the problems I've got are just problems I've got. And I'm not sure I can fix them. And there are people out there. You pick them. Hitler, Saddam Hussein. Pick somebody you think is bad and say, well, he could never change. Let's go to the next slide. I wonder if she was always a sweetheart, Mother Teresa. Most people think she was. I don't really know. She certainly ended up that way. I don't know how much change she went through. Let's go to the next one. The Bible is full of people who changed. If you could pick a person in the New Testament who started off on the wrong foot, this is the stoning of Stephen. You see Stephen being stoned in the center of the picture? Who's that man on the right? That's Saul of Tarsus. If you'd ask almost any Jew who knew him, they would have said, that is a cruel man. It's an evil man. That is a man who will never change. He'll never be different. He's always going to be oppressing us and taking our money and stealing from us. And he wasn't a beast of a man. He was a learned man. He was a Roman by citizenship, and he had well-educated. But nobody thought he could change. Next slide, please, sir. And that was the man that changed. And how did he change? He changed. That is the man that brought the gospel to almost all of the world at that point in time. A man who nobody thought could change, who was cruel and evil and never going to be reformed. And how did he change? How did he change? You know the story. He came face to face with Christ. I mean face to face. Blinded on the road, and there is Christ right in his face saying, I need your help. Who does God call now? Does he call perfect people? I don't think so. Am I losing y'all a little bit? He calls us. And he calls us as we are. But I don't know, you know. Do I want Christ in my face saying, Baker, from now on, it's the high road, brother. That's what I'm looking for you to do. That's what I'm expecting out of you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to forgive you. And I'm going to ask you to do the right thing every single time. And that's hard. Because I'm willing to change. Let's go to the next slide. If I win the lottery, I'll be the nicest guy you ever met. I'll pay off the church note if I win $350 million. I mean, it'd be easy for me to change. I'd get a new car. I would change. I would do all sorts of things to change. I'd be happy-go-lucky. I'd sleep late. I'd do lots of different things, and I would be a changed man because the world changed. My world changed, and I changed with it to do just what I wanted to do, just when I wanted to do it, just how I wanted to do it, and everything would be lovely. But that's not how it works. That's not really how it works. Let's go to the next slide. We look in the mirror, and there we are. And we look, and I go, oh, gosh, I got to change. I got to shave. I'm not one that says I need a fresh haircut. That's nothing that could make a difference. But, you know, I could use some new clothes. Maybe I'll drop a few pounds. Maybe I'll, get my teeth straightened or whitened or whatever. I want to change. I want to change the who I am and what I look like and how I act and how I feel. And I'm going to run with a new crowd, and I'm going to be all kind of changed. And then we go back to the mirror. Next slide. It's still me. I didn't change a thing. I didn't change a thing. I didn't change a bit about who I really was and what I'm really about and where I'm going to go and where I've been. It's all still old Bake. Nothing changes that way. They say a leopard can't change his spots. I guess that's true. That's true. But that's the kind of change we like. We like it when we change. We get a big house. We get a new car. We get new fresh whatever we like. And we call it change, and we're happy. And we love change around our house. And we bargain with change. This afternoon, there will be somebody in Central Arkansas who looks at their spouse and says, if you will get off of the couch and stop watching NASCAR, I will go cook you a good dinner. I will change if you will change. If you will quit doing all that stuff you do, Baker, and start doing right, then I'll start doing things that you want to do. If you'll quit going hunting all the time and start taking me on trips, then I'll start letting you go hunting a little bit more. Now, that's just a hypothetical. But that's the kind of change we love. If you'll do better, maybe I'll change. But maybe I won't. But I do want you to do better. So what I'm meddling now, aren't I? I went from preaching to meddling. But what I'm saying is really simple. And it's based on these Bible verses I've talked about. If you're waiting to change your life, or if I'm Baker waiting to change my life until somebody else changes theirs, then I need to be prepared for a pretty long wait, don't I? So let's say it's the season of Lent and we decide to change everything. I don't know if that works or not. But as I said before, if it's the same old heart, it's the same old me. So if we want to be transformed, if we want to change, if we really say we do, what do? Please, next slide. There's three crosses there. Jesus was on one of them and two thieves were on the other. And you say, well, it's a little late for me to be changed, and I'm 63. I'm almost 64. I know I don't look a day over 74. But that's a little too late for me. You know, I'm kind of setting my ways now. I'm kind of going to ride it on out. Glide on in for a landing. Well, one of those guys on the cross, youth, y'all pay attention. One of those guys on that cross was the thief. And there was no way he could change his life once he got to that cross. He was on that cross next to Jesus, and he couldn't change anything that he had done in his past, and he was powerless to change his actions in the future. But he asked God. He said, please forgive me for what I've done. And Christ said, you will be with me in paradise. He couldn't change where he was. He couldn't change his circumstance. He couldn't change the fact that he was going to die. But what did he change? What did the man change? What did the thief change? He changed his heart. Just that simply. In his head, in his heart, in his mind, in his soul, in his body, he changed. And God said, tonight you will be with me in paradise. And, you know, changing your heart is kind of hard. It's kind of hard. You know, we're Methodists, right? What did John Wesley do? When did he feel that change? When did he think his life took a turn that made all the difference? He was in a garden, and he said, I felt my heart strangely warmed. It wasn't the fact that something else changes. Inside, something changed in him. Mother Teresa said, give me your hands to serve and your heart to love. And if that happens, I think we better be ready. Because if you change your heart, you're going to have to change your plans. It's going to be different now. It's going to be different now. No more giving people the finger when they pull out in front of you, kids. Y'all don't do that, do you? Well, I'm not going to do it anymore. I hope. And it's never too late. It's never too late. In a simple way, if we love God and we love our families, will things change? I think they will. And we'll get to our neighbors later because God said something about that. Mother Teresa, again, I know it's a Methodist service. Love begins at home, she said. And it's not how much we do, but how much love we put into the action that we do. If you want to bring happiness to the whole world, go home and love your family. Next slide, please. You know, if you got a heart of stone, if you don't care, if it's easier that way sometimes, isn't it? You know, you get in your world, you do your thing, you leave other people alone, you want them to leave you alone. Life's a little easier, maybe. You don't have as much pain. Oh, it's called a hardened heart. And there's a lot in the Bible. Jenny was reminding me, there's a lot in the Bible about a hardened heart and how we don't need a hardened heart. But the power to change this whole wide world starts with the power to change what's in each of us. Simply put, you know, just imagine this. Imagine a young man in South Florida who's confused and feels lonesome and feels left out and is imbalanced in so many ways. And nobody reaches out. Nobody touches his heart. Nobody changes his heart. Nobody begs him to change. Nobody pleads with him and loves him and helps him. And then pain comes to the whole world because of things that that person does. And I'm not blaming the world for what one individual does, but I'm just saying if you wanted to change the world, you wouldn't know how you changed it if you touched someone else. You wouldn't know what would be different in their life, what might change in their life, and how the world might be different if we touched each other's heart that way. Next slide, please. I don't know what a heart of gold means, really. I don't know. But I do know this. When Jesus was transfigured, what did God say? And he said it to three people, Peter, James, and John. He said, listen to him. So if you do, you'll see God in places you never expected. You will. When you turn to the Bible, when you turn your heart to God, even in moments like I do where I don't do it all the time, but sometimes I find simple things become real to me and God is everywhere. Next slide, please. And simple things like a sunset. In the touch of a grandmother to a grandbaby, in the shake of a friend's hand. When my heart is right, my world changes because I'm willing to change. When I'm willing to humble myself and be different and try to do as God says, when I try to listen. And I'm not a good listener. Not always. So I'm going to give you a simple request, and I'm really going to call it a suggestion, because I'm not in a position to ask you to do much of anything, but I'm going to ask you to do, or at least suggest to you to do something that I'm going to do tonight. Kids, listen to me. I'm not up here because I want to be. I'm up here trying to help. I want y'all to, I'm suggesting one thing. When you say your prayers tonight, and I don't know when you do that, I do when my head hits the pillow. That's when I say my prayers. When I say my prayers tonight, I'm going to ask God all those things I always do. You know, be with my family, protect my family. When I get done with all of that, I'm going to say, God, change my heart. Change my heart. But I'm not going to say it that way. I'm going to say, change my heart. Change my heart. Because when you put the emphasis on the middle word, my heart, it's a different thinking way. It's a different saying. It's all about me changing. And I want God to change me. Because that's the simplest thing, but it's the hardest thing. And then after I ask God that, I'm going to say, God, change my heart. And then I'm going to put my head on my pillow. And I'm going to do exactly what God asked John to do, what James to do, and Peter to do. And what I ask you to do. Listen. Band, you're supposed to come out here now. That was a big finish. I think if y'all want to hear me play this, I won't do that. I will say this. I'm not empowered to take people into this church, but if you're visiting today, please understand that this is not what you usually get. It's usually much better. And please also understand that you're welcome here, and we want you to join us. And if you do, let me know after the service, and I'll see that you're put in touch with the people that can make that happen. And let's bring it on home.
All righty. Thank you. You guys go and have an incredible week. We cannot wait to see you back here next Sunday.